So how many do you want? What do you think, Lord? It says one. All right, good. You have one and you have all the blessings. See all those boys? They will have all the troubles. Solomon, you know the story of the life of Solomon. At the end of the day, you know what Solomon said? There is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the one wife of his youth after he had married 700. His father's family was a problem. Any good woman David saw, he married her. What's the name of the widow of Nabal? Abigail. He married Abigail. He will go to the... David married many wives. Most of us know David had a lot. He had a lot. Solomon learned that habit from his father. But do you know, it has never been a blessing to anybody. And wise people are learning it. I found out that the Sultan of Sokoto has only one wife. A Muslim. The head of the Council of Islamic Affairs in Nigeria has only one wife. He has found out. When I found out, I shook. The Secretary General of the Council of Islamic Affairs, one man from Oyo State, to my shock, he had only one wife. I don't know whether he's still there now. Eh? No. I think there was another one before that. There was one man that time. He had only one wife. He was the Secretary of the Council of Islamic Affairs in Nigeria. Christians will be arguing with you whether it is right or not. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not explaining the issue of righteousness. There's a doing aspect of righteousness. There is a positional aspect which all our sins had to be washed away by our faith in Christ Jesus. But having become righteous by faith, God now begins. That's what I'm trying to explain. He doesn't let us continue doing what is wrong and he will bless it. He starts teaching us how to do what is right. The blessing is tied to the doing of righteousness, not the believing for righteousness. We're talking about economic advancement, prosperity, increase. Listen, the only way you will get to the level that God said you should get to, will you get to in life, is when you learn the practice of righteousness. He said, hearing is a righteousness of God revealed. There is a revelation of righteousness for each thing that you are doing in life. And let me quickly say this, it is never the popular thing. Those days when banks were hiring people, you know, that's when I knew human beings could be undependable. They enter this bank today. After 6 months, they've resigned and gone to another bank. After a while, I said, what people are doing, is it good? They said, that's the quickest way to move forward. I said, I don't care how forward you have moved. It does not seem right in the light of the gospel. You are undependable. One of the fruits of the spirit is called faithfulness. That you're unfaithful. You will not be blessed. Human beings might promote you, but ultimately you will not be blessed. A man should be able to count on you that once I put this man in charge, he's the one in charge, my mind can go to rest. See, the other people will pay him off. And so, are they going to do the work he committed into your hand? The young man who assists me in ministry, when he first started working, one day his elder brother called him and said, I've gotten you a job. He pays this amount of money. Come over and come and take it. What Kingdom World Ministry was able to pay that time was smaller than the job he got. But he told his brother simply, you called me one day too late. That as I yesterday, I made a commitment to Pastor Banky and I agreed with him I'll stay with him for at least 1 year. That is, right now, we didn't write any paper, we didn't sign it, just discussion. And I explained the reason, and he understands the reason. Because he handles most of the technical things for us. You understand? And you don't just walk out on that kind of thing. You know, it will be a lot of problems for me as an individual. And he told the people straight, what I do here, before I can leave, I have to teach somebody first. But you know, this age, people are taught that the money is what matters. Listen, righteousness is what we exalt you. Let me tell you something. Life, is short. When I say short, what looks like 30 years, very soon, it will be like tomorrow. And everything material is temporal. The food that you enjoyed, you know, you enjoyed that food. enjoyed this so much yesterday. They paid a lot of money, gathered 7 specialist cooks to cook it for only you last week. You know it has already gone to the toilet. The enjoyment has disappeared. That's how material things are. They are very temporal. They are very temporal. They don't last. What actually lasts are the moral, spiritual choices we make in the midst of our trials. That's what is recorded in heaven. That's why I told you the other day that when people tell you that when you sow money, you reap money. I said, listen, money is not a seed. You know the seed? The thing behind the money that you are giving. So if I give a man of God money, that money is nothing. It's nothing. In heaven, they don't see the money. You know what they see? The motivation for my giving him money. That's all that heaven sees. The cash is not counted. They don't record the naira. So somebody said that God will now multiply naira back to you. Don't worry about it. He doesn't bother to do that. It's unnecessary because he didn't see the naira. What he saw was the spirit behind the thing that you were doing. So if I take money, Paul said, Jesus said like this, if I give to a prophet, what's the next line? Because he's a prophet. He qualified it. Most modern day Pentecostals get nothing. Because they give to a prophet because they want to reap. Jesus said, if you give to a prophet because he's a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. That is, for God, the because is very important. And he did not tell you the prophet's reward is money. Did he say so? He just said you get a prophet's reward. Let him calculate the reward the way he likes. Very important. What I'm trying to say is that it is the spiritual thing behind everything that we are doing that God is counting. So in life, when we make choice sometimes and we grab plenty of money and listen to this, we break the law of righteousness. We put ourselves out for judgment. Because on the surface, men see money and they say, this is good. God said, no, I see unfaithfulness. I see unrighteousness. Even though physically it produces cash. And let me quickly say this again. Money is never the proof that you have pleased God. Did you hear what I said? You can walk in iniquity and have 10 jeeps in your house. You can be a sinner and you build mansions. And I can prove that to you also from the scriptures. Jesus Satan went to Jesus Christ and said, bow before me, and what will I give you? I'll give you all these kingdoms of this earth. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus had bowed, would he have been rich? No, I'm talking about spiritually, physically. If Jesus had bowed, would he have been rich? Financially, would he have had plenty of money? If he's in today's day and age, would he have had plenty of cars? He would have been moving in convoys. I hope you understand that. He would have gone to his village and built 10 mansions, drive the igwe out of the place and built in the center of the palace. If he had bowed to Satan, then the second question, would that have been true prosperity? So let nobody deceive you. If somebody comes to you and says, look at it, God has blessed me. Look at the new Jeep I just bought. The 2013 Armada. Wow. What does he do? You don't know. How did God bless him? He can't tell you the story. The testimony is in the story, not the thing. The testimony is in what? The story. One day, it was Nebakai that told this story. A young man came to greet him in Lagos and gave him a brand new S-Class Mercedes-Benz. This was years ago. He looked at the keys. He looked at the boy. He looked at the car. Oh boy, what do you do? We thank God. It's just a blessing of God. I know it's a blessing of God. Where did that blessing come through? Praise the Lord. You know, it's just, you know, as we are operating, he gave the boy the keys and told him to get out. He gave the boy the key. Drive that your accursed thing and drive it out of here before I curse you in the name of the Lord. Want to dash me a brand new S-Class? Why? Because I was trekking before. I'm adding my own words now. I can trek into heaven than you drive this your car into eternal damnation. Thank you. Leave me alone. He said, those days, one day a man came and dropped a tithe in the church. This was long ago. It was 5 million naira. Now imagine about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, somebody comes and drops a tithe in church, 5 million naira. So when they were counting offering, they saw the check. So they went and gave pastor, good afternoon, sir. See, somebody brought this amount of money. He looked at it, they recognized it, but said, go and call him for me. That one came. Said, this is it. What is this? It's a tithe. Tithe. That means you are telling me you made 50 million. Say, yes, sir. From where? That one was looking. Hold your check first. Go and prove to me you didn't steal the money. That one went home, brought all the papers with which he was a big contractor for federal, what they call this, aviation, this thing. I think, you know, these people who deal in airport, they do big businesses, huge businesses. He went and brought the contract award letter, the execution paper, everything. Say, Augustine, they paid. This is the difference in the money. This was my own portion of after all the work. Okay, now they now collected the check and blessed him and said, you can go. Said, don't steal money and bring it here. You know, if Akan is in your camp, you are in trouble. Akan is there with you. You know, if you are taking the 5 million or that other guy's, what they call it, S-class, he will drive down, praise the Lord. He'll park outside where everybody can see it and start speaking a different language. That's why a lot of people who don't know anything, that's what they do. Praise God. If you show a kind of shade that God will be provoked, you will get the kind of car that you can settle in. Hallelujah. It's a lie. A cocaine pusher just dashed him a car. And his head is not correct again. God is more interested in the story. Any testimony you can't share is not of God. Did you hear what I said? You can't share it. Because you know your pastor was saying no. He said, hey, praise the Lord. Then after that, then the contract now came. And then the money came. And we thank God. And this is our own profit. It's 5 million naira. Amen. And they said, tell the whole story now. No, we just thank God. You know, God works in mysterious ways. What he didn't say is that you and the one PDP man joined hands. And you tripled the cost of the contract. You know, the real value is 50 million. You guys did it for 150. You've forgotten that you have to tell all kinds of lies and forge all kinds of documents. You remember? Yeah, of course. You just that you can't share the testimony. But you say, let God not be angry. Before the devourer comes upon this, my stolen money, you now come and give God a portion. You know what happened? The devourer will bring seven spirits more wicked than himself. Listen, as we are praying for the country, and we are praying for this Africa, and we are praying for God to establish development in these places, we are also praying that every evildoer, God will cut them off. That God will cut them off. The major problem, I was saying that earlier, I began to say then I derailed, is that time is not what makes a place develop. Alright, I said that. But the major way by which underdevelopment came into a country like ours was because of the doing of unrighteousness. If we are done, that is, doing of unrighteousness, corruption is endemic. Can I say endemic? Everybody, that is, people don't know how they can do things for people without collecting money. I made up my mind. In the course of doing this, my duties, where I work, in the hospital, you pass me an envelope, I pass it back to you. The last man who did it to me, he did some work for us and plenty of work. So finally, when he was always calling me about his money, I said, don't worry, we will pay. I'm chairman of the committee, so I'll call the accountant. How far would you need this money now? And I said, this happened, okay. I kept on pushing. Finally, I really helped him push the thing. When the money finally came out, oh, praise God, I was so happy. He now came to greet me. He was not doing like that. What is it? I looked, an envelope. I tapped his shoulder. I said, don't worry. In my mind, don't worry. I earn more than you. I just tapped his shoulder. Don't worry, don't worry. Because maybe he didn't understand that somebody could be helping like this and he's doing it for nothing. I said, look, don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's my rule. I said, you know, if it's the cause of this work, you give me a dime, I won't take it from you. I don't want it. I will not take it from you. You know, say, maybe because you have money. It's not true. The time we're flat broke, that 15th of the month, you are searching all your pockets. You know, these days when I check my pockets, sometimes I will see 2,000 naira, 5,000 naira. I tell my wife, my things don't change you. Those days, I can never search my pocket and find 2,000 naira for what? Because by the 15th of the month, I've searched all the pocket 2 times. You can't wash my clothes and find money inside. Now, if you wash my clothes, you have money, you see money. But those days, like, where will you see the money? I was there before you. I've searched the whole thing. But even then, I remember once a man came, we helped him. He finally brought out money. I refused. He pressed on us, we refused. Pushed him outside and gave it back to him. That my God doesn't like us working like that. I said, because if we start it now, the next person that comes will be wondering, why is he not performing? That we do what we do for you because, I mean, we are dealing with sick people. Conscience alone should even let you know that anything we can do, we do for anybody. We don't care about whether you are rich or poor, tall or short, your tribe, doesn't matter. We are in a hospital where we deal with samples of those who are sick. We don't want it to be delayed. So any delay is because we couldn't help the delay. So when we can hasten it, we always hasten it. Someone will hasten it now, bring out money. No, my God, that time, it was not our... She didn't teach us like that. It was a woman. She didn't teach us like that at all. So that man came, took money. We pursued him out and said, sorry. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry. We can do something for you for free. One day, another man came. He needed his son was seriously sick. He had a tumor, kind of, around his kidney. So they brought it out. So they needed the report quickly. And that's my department. We write the reports. We examine the tissue and all of that. So I saw that he was talking, explaining to me, please, this boy is very precious to me. He's my only son. He was talking. I said, sir, I told you it will take this number of days. Even if it's my own son, that is the least number of days it will take. I'm sorry. We will do our best. So I saw his wife, you know, give him a sign. So he called me outside and said that, look, that he works in another company. And his hand had some bundle of notes. He was bringing it forth. I thought to myself, sir. That's when I told him, if it's my son, the number of days I told you is the number of days it will take. Don't worry about that, your hand. Don't worry. I went back into my office. Because by the time you take the first one, the next one now it will be, the other people will now come. Everything we did for him, we didn't even bring anything. Very soon it becomes a habit. Your body starts slowing down on those who didn't bring something. So I made it a culture. If it's the line, if you come to me professionally, like now I'm a big chief, and you come to me outside, say, please, we have a job to do somewhere. How much do you charge us? We can negotiate, okay. In fact, what I even tell people, say, must I go? Can't people come to this place? If you come here, it's free. That is not like totally free, but you will pay the hospital and I won't charge you anything extra. Nothing. But if you are coming and say, I use it to scare them because of my, I have a lot of things like busy my time. I say, look, listen, if you come here, hospital charges it. But if I come there personally on a private basis, this is how much I charge you. This is cheaper for you to hire an ambulance. Do this, do that. Yes, come to this side. But if he insists you want somebody to come there, I say, okay, okay, I don't have time. I'll go and look for some of my colleagues. Because sometimes it's a lot of headache for me. I have a lot of ministry work to do and stuff. But the point I'm trying to make is that it is okay for me to discuss with you if you're hiring me to go somewhere. But once you walk into that hospital and you say you are an official, this thing, anything I do for you, no, give me money, I'm not taking it from you. It's just my law. Because it's a bad culture in Nigeria. It's a culture, it's too bad. One day I went to court to swear to an affidavit. When I got there, I did the whole thing, typed my affidavit, did everything, and I went before the commissioner of oaths. They did everything. I signed. She signed, and I said, "Thank you, ma." Then she said, "Hey, doc, if they take ordinary mouth, say thank you, Nigeria." I just said, "Thank you," and I left. I wanted to tell her, "Madam, if you come to my office, ordinary mouth is what I need for you to say thank you." I was very, very angry. That you're not even ashamed. You're an officer of the law. In the morning. I turned at her like this. I just said thank you and I kept on walking. I felt like saying, "Now listen, madam, if you came to my office, that your mouth is all I need, the thank you that comes from it. What have you done for me? You're sitting on the desk. You're paid. You're the commissioner of oaths. You're paid to do this work. You've done nothing for me. I came to swear my driver's license because I went to Lagos once. I forgot my stuff on the bike. So the bike, I'm sure the bike might even know. The thing must have fallen into the gutter or something. So I needed to swear that my documents are missing. I came, wrote the thing out. You're not supposed to sign. Giving people money is not a problem for me. There are times I just get angry. Okay, why should I give you money? What have you done now today that is not your duty? And if it's beyond your duty, income, you don't know how to bless people. You don't know it's more blessed to give than to receive. One day, my chief and I were driving. That woman who I said trained us in Lagos then. Our car entered into a ditch because we ran into some armed robbers on this road. That's Enugu to Onitsha. Onitsha Enugu Express. This was many, many years ago. And the car entered into the ditch. So later I called some men, come and help us. One said shoulder the pain and one said back the pain. I felt like saying, if I say amen, you will see what they call back pain. But finally, they now came and said, how much will I pay to have them push the car out? I looked at them. This is why you will never be rich in your life. It's not possible. No, see, this is not a curse. There are things that God will look at and say, this one, that village, poverty is your portion. You see a man in distress. All you are thinking of is, how can I get money from him? So my chief said, no problem. I was so angry. My chief just said, Banky, relax. So I said, we negotiated, I paid them. No, we negotiated, so they called about four of them. Of course, when four men handle a car, it will come out. Four men. I mean, even if in a lorry safe, the lorry will have to be possessed not to shield, you know, that's not my point. So when it was, it's been a long time. Let us assume that time that it was 200 naira that was their money. So we gave them the 200 naira. But there was one little boy, that boy could not have been more than 14. Let's even push it, maybe 16. Who came on his own and was helping us, because he and I had been doing the thing, my ogre was a woman, so I told her to just sit down somewhere. So me and this little boy had walked and walked, the car didn't come out. So we're about to leave. If we gave those men 200 naira, my ogre called that boy and gave him 600 naira. Called him from where he was, said, come, handed him 600 naira. He didn't charge us anything. He was ready to do that and walk away. She just calls him, say, you, come. Four men were going to share 200. Only you, take this one. This was long ago. I'm just estimating the figures. But that's what she said. Call him. We called the little boy. That is, for the... He had gone... That he had finished. When the men came, he had to move back and let men do the work. But she called him and said, you, come. Take. And that's how God deals with us. The things that you are rushing for, that is the person that will not get. He said, he that loves his life will lose it. Is the one that's willing to let his life go for my sake. That is the one that will find it. Please, what I'm saying is very important too. Because, look, listen, and you must have something in life. It's not everything that you say, okay, is it wrong or is it right? It's not everything that is right that you even do. What I mean by right is that Paul said all things are lawful, but not all of them are expedient. Abraham looked at the goods of the king of Sodom. He said, take it. Just let what the men have taken and the men that went with me. He says, for me, I have sworn before God, I will not take anything from you, lest you say, I made Abraham rich. I think we need a call, especially for those who are in civil service in Nigeria, to take certain oaths before God, so that God can bless them and they will tell other people that you don't have to use corner method to prosper in this life. We start using all kinds of names. Is it bribery or appreciation? No, in your own end, there are cultures you have to personally break. I'm not saying we're fighting everybody. Like, if I stand and say, you are not good unless you give me money. Hey, that was not... it's called extortion. I say, take, let me go. I'll just keep passing. But if it's the other way around, I must never be the one that stands in somebody's way. Not if, you know, there's corner way of begging. Okay, you don't they go? You don't they go? Okay, they go. Okay, now. You don't they go? they go, leave me alone. We'll greet the guy like 10 times. These days, God has helped me. I'm not always angry. I just say, the man is asking for money. Let us stop. Come. Yes, we don't they go. Meanwhile, hold this one while we are gone. Ah, thank you, sir. You don't have to do it. I know I don't have to do it. But you have been greeting me for the last 5 minutes. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What is my teaching? What I'm trying to do is to emphasize to us that righteousness is what will exalt you. I say all the time, temptations are called temptations because they are tempting. That is, to do the opposite will always be tempting. You will work in an office, and people who are doing the opposite will make money faster. They will buy a car 3 years before you, and you will look like a fool. But until you look like a fool for Jesus Christ, you are not ready for his prosperity. Did you hear what I said? Until you are ready to look like a fool for the sake of the truth of the Lord Jesus, you are not ready for the prosperity that only him can bring. No, you are not ready for it. We talk about the rise of the righteous. I'm saying to you again, righteousness is what will exalt you. The practice of the doctrine of righteousness, doing what is right for the sake of that which is right. You know what he said? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. He said, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Did you notice that? It is not because you labored harder than them, but because you did what? You loved righteousness. You loved righteousness and hated wickedness, hated iniquity. He said, therefore, this is the reason why God will exalt you. This is the reason why God will promote you. This is the reason why God will take you higher than all your fellows. It is not the man, the woman that struggles that gets to the highest place. It is the one that God loves and commits a kingdom into his hands. Listen, everything you are doing in life, you are supposed to seek one thing, the pleasure of God. Ask yourself, will God be pleased with me as I do this? It's not whether it is right or it is wrong. You must understand this principle I'm trying to bring out. Let me ask you a simple question. We can easily work it out. I close now in a few minutes. When God came to Solomon and said, ask for anything, do you think if Solomon had asked for $1 billion of that time, oh, let's even say, assume it's today now, say, God, give me $10 billion. Do you think God would have given him? Just simple. He would have given him. If he had said, okay, God, increase the number of houses that I have. I wanted to go to about, right now, as a prince, I had like 7 houses. I wanted to be like 58. Do you think God would have given him? If God said, okay, I want to conquer all the nations around. Do you think God would have given him? Now, I ask you a simple question. If God gave it to him, would God have been happy? How do we know that God would not have been happy? Because when he did not ask for those things and he asked for wisdom, God said, ah, in that you did not ask for this and that and this, but you asked for wisdom. Therefore, I will give you the things you did not ask for. What does that tell you? God was happy. Which means if he had asked for those things, God would not have been happy, even though he would have given it to him. Many of the things we struggle for, pray for, sow seed for, fast for, intercede for. After a while, God said, look, angels, give it to him so he can go back to work. He has been praying and praying and praying. Just give it to him. Am I happy? No, I'm not happy. But let the boy be more fruitful. Because he's been here for the last 2 weeks saying, God, give it to me, otherwise I will die here. I don't want him to die here. So give him first. Let him. Listen, it's not everything that God gives you that is pleased with giving you. People think that, that's why all these principles of this is how to get it by force, today, today. It's not everything that you get that will be a blessing to you. The Bible said that they lusted after meat in the wilderness. God gave them meat according to their lust, but then that meat brought leanness into their souls. You don't want a blessing that will bring leanness into your soul. Let the blessing of God come to you at a time they will not become a curse. Bishop Oyedepo said they may be slow, but they will be sure. Many people have used force, prayer, working hard. They bought a car. And God says, see, before now, you didn't have this car. When you go to sleep, you used to sleep properly. But now you have this car now. You can't sleep well again. You always check whether somebody is losing the tire. Before, we didn't concern you about fuel. Now, if they say that they want to increase subsidy, you join those who are protesting. Why? Because you are not yet able to carry this responsibility. And it's not adding anything to your life. Where are you going? Is it not school here? It's not this particular workplace. You take one bike, you take one bus drop there, and you are back. On Sunday, take a taxi to go to church. They said, no, Emeka already has a car, and I'm a senior. God said, okay, your boy don't sow seed tire. Every prophet that comes, he sows. Every fasting, car. God after I said, okay, guys, arrange him a car. Make sure he has a bad engine. No, God does that. It concerns leanness. After that, the boy is always going to mechanic. God just wants to teach him something. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I need to let you get on this, because our society, they make it look as if these are the things that define you. But it's not right. If you are trekking, trek with pride. Trek with righteousness in your soul. Are you getting my point? Take pride in some other things. I mean, you know, why are you competing? There are people, you know, women can be very, very fun. Some women say, no. Maybe all their holiday time, all their friends carry their children. One went to Dubai, the other went to US, one go London. So the woman that didn't go anywhere, when the husband say, honey, don't leave me alone. You don't know why she's irritable. She's feeling inferior. When they go to church, the next two services, she won't come to church because all her friends have traveled. So it's the school they go to. The children will come back home and say, last holiday. They will talk to their friends. They're not bragging. No. Last holiday, we were in Dubai. I went to see the Boja Arab. So the boy will come home and tell his mother. The mother will now be feeling inferior. Be harassing the man. Harassing the man. I said, withdraw your children from those schools. Carry them to a school where nobody goes anywhere. If you can't, somebody like me, no, God blessed me long ago. Hi. In your heart, you have to say, thank God for this man. Or God blessed him long ago. No, the blessing that God gave me, I have never cared. I can come there. I'll say, you went to America? Now, wow, where did you bring home? Hi. I told the other guy, did you go anywhere? I don't go anywhere. I get that kind of money. I'll say flat. I'm not ashamed. Listen, if you can preach like me, let me see. Say you can do is travel. Me, I have where I can do something you can't do. I will tell you straight. There was a day I entered class. I just came to check something. My students are there clapping. I didn't see anything. No. I said, you go and do that one. Can you do it? You can go to America. You can go to London. You can go to places. God in heaven is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I have never stood before somebody and I'll be feeling inferior. For what? Including when I will come with Molwe to where you are and you drive down there. Feeling inferior for what? For what? You fine reach me. I know you don't think so, but me, I think so. You understand my point? That I'm the most handsome man in this world. No. Listen, let me tell you the truth. That's one thing you have to learn. In this life, you are not set to go and impress anybody. Some people, they are going to the village at Christmas time. They have to go with a car. Why? If you don't have a car, go with a keke napep. Now you say, Chinedu, you came with a keke napep. Yes, so. This one not the chop well. No. You know, there are revelations God gave me early in life. So I didn't go through some headache. No, they are precious. I've never... Listen, when I got married that time, I didn't have a car. Somebody was saying that whether you will try and buy one, I say I don't have. The girl I want to marry, she knows I don't have. Both of us agree that I don't have. And both of us know that it's only God that will bring the thing. So we married like that and we're very happy like that. No, it didn't cross my mind to impress anybody. Impress anybody with what? Listen, this life that I'm living, God called me alone. He's going to judge me against what he wrote in my book. Each person has a book. Your judgment is according to what is written in your book, not according to how you compared with somebody else. One day, one woman, they stole her ring. You know, thieves broke into their house, stole her wedding ring. So, you know, when they just look at my wife, they just assume that this her ring must be pure gold. You know, those kind of things. So the person that came and tells my wife they stole her ring, he wants to buy another one. He doesn't know where he wants to buy now. So I said, go and buy like this my own now. I said, I don't have that kind of money. My wife said, which kind of money? I bought it for 2,000 naira. No, I know what did have was at number one. Madam, you are wearing a 2,000 naira ring. Yes, my wife said, no problem. I will show you where they are selling it. Are you interested? Let me come and point the place to you. He just told the guest, simply, listen, this life, you are not here to impress anybody. I'm not joking. God is my witness. If I needed to pay 200,000 for a tiny ring for my wife, I can pay it. No, I'm not joking. It won't be a prayer point. It's not, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive that ring by faith. Father, I thank you because I have the cash. That's what I will say to him. But you know the funny thing? It doesn't even cross our minds. You just go to the market. Ah, see another one. I like this one. How much do you buy it? That one, the man said, is very good. I bought it 2001. Put them. Tomorrow, I don't like it and throw them again. It's only small girls who don't have any money that are looking for who to impress. I'm not saying the gold is bad. The one she was wearing before that got lost, it was gold. In fact, she bought that one because she had to travel one time that her ring got missing. So just said, let me quickly buy something. And the thing was just shining and shining and shining and shining and shining and shining. Ah, he kept on shining. He just kept on wearing it. And there's nothing about you know, it's when you are competing with people, you are trying to print. No, this one is a Dolce & Gabbana. It's not Dolce & Gabbana. I bought in the Ogbete market. It's 2005. If I remove the ring, my husband is still my husband. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I'm not competing for your husband with you. So why am I trying to impress you? And my husband knows it. He paid for it. We are happy with it. That thing is so crucial. People are put under unnecessary pressure. You buy things you can't afford because your friend bought something like that. I will tell you if you are my friend, ah, that's very nice. Oh boy, you did try. Oh, it is well with you. You know they buy? Lie. Who go pay? And that's it. There's no fight. No, God gave me that revelation long ago. My life has been sweet for a very long time. For a very, very long time. I had a reputation at a time for sincerity. I didn't know how to pretend. If I'm entering a plane for the first time, I'll ask the man in front of me, hello, sir. This is my first time. Can I follow you? No, do you know? You know, some people, they will think I'm a bushman. Listen, you can only think that once. And I won't see you again. I mean, who's going to see you again? If I enter a place, they say they arrange for cutlery. How do they? I will tell the person beside me, oh boy, I never shopped for this kind of place before. How do they use this thing? Some people want to go and pretend like, yes, we are used to it. This is the kind of thing we eat all the time. Oh, Father, I worship you. At least it has never been a pressure in my soul. First time I went to the U.S., that I went to buy food. I like to tell this story all the time. My brother-in-law, he left me alone. He gave me his car to use. And because the way America is, if you have to use taxi and use all your money, taxis are so expensive. And they don't have good buses and public transport. So you really have to drive. I had to drive. The time to buy fuel, I just went to where they were selling. And you know, they don't have fuel attendants. Come here. Oh yeah, stop. Open your this. How much do you want? They don't have. You go to the filling station, there's nobody. You will bring out your card, put it inside, carry the thing, sell your own fuel by yourself. Before I go spoil somebody something, so I just waited. I parked the car there, I waited. So, one of your woman came to buy fuel. I just went, good morning, ma'am. I'm from Nigeria. This is my first time in the United States. Please, I need to buy fuel. Of course, she was so nice. Here's my card. She collected the card. All right, you come over here. Yeah, you do like this? Yes, thank you very much, ma'am. Put it in. Uh-huh. This is the only time I'll look like a fool. The next time I came back, I was used to it too. We'll buy your fuel. That's my car. Go. Many of the people you are pretending for, they are also pretending. You don't know. Many of them are also pretending. But I thank God, I've always had my confidence in what I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm accepted before God. God loves me. And I don't owe anybody. I don't owe anybody trying to look good in his eyes. God loves me, and I love him like that. Listen, if you understand that, many of the things that tempt people to make them put their hands into unrighteousness will never be a temptation for you. Let me end my message there. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. What you will do is to walk in that righteousness. And God will use your obedience to those principles of righteousness to elevate you. Good will come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. As God is developing this land and developing this nation, developing this entire continent, You will be above alone. You will not be beneath in the name of Jesus Christ. That king went to go and take kingdoms for himself. He went and took kingdoms. When he came back, he put his servants, he said, you be in charge of 5 cities. You be in charge of 10 cities. I prophesy to you again today that you will also be in charge of many cities in the name of Jesus. Bishop Oyedepo said, life is not an achievement, it's a receivement. That is, what you will have in life is because God gave that thing to you. But you have to qualify for it by practicing righteousness on a daily basis. The strength to practice righteousness, receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will be with you. He will give you the strength. He will give you a reminder word that, no, this is not how to do it. This is the right way to do it. And you will obey him and you will prosper thereby in the name of Jesus Christ. It is well with you in Jesus' name. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. I never forget to drop this for today's Christians. You are not under a curse in Christ Jesus. All ancestral curses, they've been broken out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. No witch in the village can afflict you in the name of Jesus. You don't need that special deliverance session. It's a waste of time. You have been delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus. I say you have been delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus. He said, man of God, but I have problems. Who doesn't have problems? All problems are supposed to be solved. You will solve your problems by prayer and by obedience to the revelation that God will give you. Solution will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. The cycle of poverty that many people here have had, it is because they have been rushing after money. God said, leave money alone. Come and seek my face. Come and understand me. Come and be like me. And prosperity, I will add it to you quicker than you ever expected. That is a word of God for somebody. The more you run after money, the more it runs farther away from you. The way to be rich in life is to turn to God and run towards God. Then all other things will follow you. I said they will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, you will not die young in the name of Jesus. Every sickness that's attaching itself to you, I speak against them now by the power of the body of Christ that was nailed to that cross. By the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed for you, I speak to those sicknesses, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to them, be gone in the name of Jesus. If there's a woman there that's believing God for conception of a child, I speak to you now, receive it in the name of Jesus. Any person there, man or woman, believing God for a breakthrough in their businesses, I pray for one thing for you. God will give you direction in the name of Jesus. Many people, the reason why they have not had breakthrough is because they've been running in a direction that God did not want them to go. That is why sometimes all God gives you is a redirection. The wisdom to move in the right direction, receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Where you have been running to men for help, move away from there. Get back home, settle down and get down on your knees. David said, who do I have in heaven but thee? But upon this and upon this earth, I have desired no other. The people that God will use to help you, he will send them to you by himself. You will not have to be running after them. Receive God's help, therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He said, that word is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. What am I saying? For giving attention to the word of God these few days, you are being built up and your inheritance will come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.